Commission regular meeting. Roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Here.
Mr. Detwiler and I are also here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are at public communication. Do we have anybody for public communication? So just a reminder, I know that there's a lot of maybe questions people might have for the board, and certainly we are open to answering those, and the public communication's a perfect place to do that. I know that we've had things addressed on social media, but we really think that this would be a better forum for any kind of question and answers, and that way all the community members could hear that. So if you hear of anybody that has some concerns or questions for the board, please encourage them to come and talk to us, and we'd love to get their feedback, and we'd love to address any kind of questions and provide the answers if we can. Okay. We will go on to board work session, and we will, before we will start with you, pursue your commission.
Yeah, thank you very much. Recently we had our marching band, a very successful weekend at the state meet, state tournament, and I will ask Renee, our band director, to come up and introduce her band members that are here, and to hopefully talk a little bit about their success.
Basically, first of all, we really and truly appreciate all the support that you guys and the entire community actually has given us this season. It's been absolutely outstanding, and in my 4 years here, I'm starting to see shifts in a positive direction just as far as the community support of our program. So we had an outstanding season. You know, we have a tradition in this program of advancing to states every year consecutively for a while now, okay? But this year we finally got our superior rating at the state level, which is really hard to do. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background on what we do, our band competes at, or is supposed to compete at, Class C, which is small school class. But we actually compete a class higher than that by our choice. It makes it a little bit more fun and a little bit more challenging. And there were only 12 Class B bands in the state to get a one at or superior rating at states. And technically, we're a Class C band. So this program is really something to be proud of. The kids are working so hard to represent our district, and it's just been a lot of fun. And I wanted to thank you for that. I have a few students here with me. These are all seniors. This is Kirsten Neely. She's a flute player. She's been in the marching band for 4 years. And then Mr. Zachary Marciano. You can come. They don't bite. You can come up. He's our trombone player and also my band captain. And this is his 5th year in the marching band. And then Miss Skylar Stewart, who has been in the marching program for 6 years. So she started as a little 7th grader. And these students are the true essence of hard work in our community. And it's just, we're very fortunate to have them and also to have you to recognize.
Renee, if I could add a couple things to that. Talking about the hard work, the week before the state meet was not a nice weather week for us. And I had good fortune, I think, was Thursday the last day you were out there? I had good fortune walking down through there, and it was spitting rain and cold and windy and blowing, and they were practicing. And I just stood and watched for a while, and Renee had a nice little thing, talked to him at the end, and then they did a nice cheer there, and I was watching that. They were ready. It was very exciting. And then to go up to the state meet, I got to sit with a good group of our parents there, and the anxiety that was building, it was just, and you watch the kids as they were standing out there on the field, and just, you could cut it with a knife. And then the mouths just dropped when they announced that they got a superior. Our crowd just went crazy. So it was a great moment for Madison Plains, and really one of the best moments for me as superintendent. It was really, really enjoyable. So I congratulate all of you. It was a great, great season. One thing that we talked about before the meeting, about the banner and the gymnasium, we talked about what qualifies you to get, you know, your year up on the band banner. Well, obviously, you can't get any higher than superior, so I would assume then we'll be looking at putting up this year's date up on that banner for you guys.
Yeah, great work. We appreciate it. We thank you for all your dedication, because that's a lot of dedication. That's a lot of hours that aren't always, you know, fun. That's a lot of work, and we recognize that, and we're so proud of you. We're so, so proud of you. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great job.
Next up, we'll ask Dr. Arndt to come up and present his student.
Phenomenal there on the field at the University of Dayton. So it was a wonderful day. I'd like to present to you Jennifer Schaefer. Jennifer is being recognized by Congressman Stivers as our senior of the month for the month of October. A little bit about Jennifer. One of the first things you'll notice about her, she always has a smile on her face. She's always in a good mood. She enjoys school, very active in several different aspects of school. She has interest in three different schools, Mount Vernon University, Ohio State, and Harvard. As she describes herself, she describes herself as a caring person. She's always interested in making people happy, adding to the school environment, bringing out the best in people. And she represents Madison Plains as a positive example of what we want our students to do and succeed and be like here at Madison Plains. So once again, congratulations, Jennifer.
And Jennifer, we have something else for you. And I have heard such great things, and I know you. So you know what? Everybody that talks about you says just how great, nice of a girl you are and how hardworking you are. So, you know, you are active in everything. I think you were the play this weekend, you're a cheerleader, you had your accolades for the banquet. So great job and good work on your schoolwork. We appreciate that too. She does look smart. I think congratulations to Mr. Corey Coburn in the audience out there for winning the most recent election. And to Elizanikas.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
And Kelly Cooley.
And no, I was reelected. So you'll see us all actively meeting in January and appointing officers. But Corey, we're excited to have you join us. And Mike, of course, we're sorry to see you go. You have a couple more meetings still. You're not out yet. And then I know I attended the annual business meeting at the Ohio OSBA Capital Conference on the 13th of this past month. And I know Mark was there on the 12th. And I went to the annual business meeting and then the opening meeting. Always well run, and certainly they're a huge resource for us, and the information that we get. Certainly if we have questions, we can call them. We're not sure what to do. They come out, talk to us every few years about what board members should do, how we interact with the community, what our roles are. And I think I just really find them a valuable resource. So the annual meeting, we vote on some changes to policy, kind of like we do here, on a broader scope, and certainly hear from a speaker or two. And I know you attended on Sunday, so I don't know if there's anything you want to say about that in the sessions.
I agree with you. It's very
useful, helpful. I went to ones on building community support to try to pass levies, you know, kind of relevant type stuff for us. Survey, how to survey your people, get a feel for what the people want, what the support, that kind of stuff. Those are the two main ones that I went to.
Those are good. And I know, Todd, you and Tim were there, so
yeah.
If you guys want to say anything about your sessions you went to.
Some of the sessions that I particularly like were the social media, ways to engage the audience at board meetings, ways to reach the community in a more entertaining way for the boring financial matters that I have to present a lot of times. So that was the one I particularly liked.
Yeah, I also went on social media and also went to one on culture change within education. And, changing culture is not easy and it takes time. A lot of heavy lifting has to be done. So we're not in a unique situation. All schools are trying to change their culture to a more positive atmosphere.
We did have the governor come speak to us in the morning. And although he's a little late, or 45 minutes, something like that, he did cover his agenda items that he wanted to cover. I don't know that it was all well received. But it was, he did talk about the, certainly the drug epidemic was his first and foremost concern in the schools, and anytime we can talk about that to the children and that we can reinforce the fact that that's a problem, encourage children not to do it, was one of his clear messages. The other two were a little bit off topic from, I think, probably what we would use for a forum here. That's fair. And but it was good. It was good. It's always good to take a pause and get a better understanding and a more broad outlook at what we could do differently. So that's Capital Conference. And then we are going to, we can do it now, we can do it later. We need to schedule an additional meeting in December to talk about some of our operational items, right?
Correct. There's a timeline that we'll look at here shortly that shows you that we really don't have a lot of time when it comes to May, if that's what we're looking at. So we really will probably need a meeting in December and early January, aside from the organizational meeting.
Okay. So, we can just get some dates and do that later, unless you guys have calendars, it's up to you. But our regular scheduled meeting would be the 19th, so we would want to have it before that, certainly. So if you could kind of look at your calendars, the week of the 11th, I would say.
We have a meeting on the 12th. Yeah, I think it's fine. That works.
The
12th? We have a meeting.
We have a meeting on the 19th. Is our board meeting?
I see. I had mine on the 12th also.
Oh, am I wrong?
No.
Oh, it's the 19th. I have a meeting on the Tuesday, the 12th.
I could not do the 11th or the 12th.
How's the 13th look?
13th
is
Wednesday.
The time, we have board policy, but because that's late, that's earlier. Really.
So we could do 6.
December 13th.
That's also the currently scheduled impact meeting.
The 13th?
We might have to move that.
That's fine. We can't. We just have to announce it.
14th?
I'm good on the 14th, but not the 15th.
14th at 6. If we move it up to 6, is that okay?
And kind of like we talked about last month, if we can get that on the calendar ASAP and put a description of what we're...
Special meeting.
14th at 6.
Not just special meeting, but a little more description.
Yep.
You know, talk about
right.
Future.
We did that for the...
Right.
Yep.
We'll do.
That's our standard. Okay. That's it for board work session for me. Anybody else?
I think it's going to be probably touched on Tim, but just thank the community for passing the PI levy. Very grateful for the support, and all townships supported it. That's very appreciated. I think what we hope to do, and we'll get more of this in our December, or that extra meeting or whatever, is reach out to the community, get a feel for what they want, what they'll support, and really try to engage with them as far as our next steps.
Great. And good, thank you for saying my part. I know you had it in yours, so that's why I listened.
The more you cover now, I mean,
no, I've got to shorten you cover that, that's fine. Okay. All right, we can move on to D, people, 4 minutes.
Madam President, I move that upon the recommendation superintendent, the board, that's not a recommendation. I move that the board approve the minutes of the October 11th, 2017 and October 17th, 2017 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodd?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Okay. We are on to Treasurer's Report. Thank you.
First thing I'll pull up for you is our spending plan. Our spending plan here has been aligned. Now it used to say draft. Now it's our spending plan. It's in its final form. I've updated it to include our five-year forecast, our current five-year forecast, and the budget is now in alignment with that forecast. So you can see our total revenues are $13,559,763. You see that's the same for the forecast in black and the budget there in yellow. The items that had to be adjusted on the budget mainly were the state foundation funding. That's when we realized we were going to be flat funded. We didn't know that at the beginning of the year for budget purposes. So that now is in alignment. We included our attrition figures for our personnel for the budget. We started off thinking it was going to be a certain amount. That got reduced down based on our attrition, which was also included in our five-year forecast. And then the other big change was that the accounting for our HRA fund, the 024 fund, is now accounted for up in the benefits line item, the fringe benefits. So that's no longer shown on the forecast as a transfer at the end of the year. That's shown now in the general fund directly as a fringe benefit because of the way we're able to account for that, better account for that. So that was a big change there. So you can see the bottom line, our expected ending balance, both in the forecast and in our budget, is $2,344,188. Right now, our fiscal year-to-date actual plus projected puts us ahead of that to the tune of $494,000. So we're doing better than what we had planned, which is good. We always budget conservatively. So to see us above the line, that's a good thing. Speaking of above the line, if we go down to our spending plan graph, our cash flow analysis, you can see the black line is our budget. And again, that was revised to agree with the five-year forecast. The blue line above that is our actual. So you can see we're above the line when it comes to our budget, which is good. That month that we're really keeping a close eye on is right there in January. As you can see right now in yellow, we're looking at a balance at the end of January of $329,289. So that's general fund. That's not all funds. And then we start to climb out again of that low point. That's our battling that we talked about. Going along with revising the spending plan, the next thing I have is my appropriation resolution. It's an amended appropriation. You can see our total general fund appropriations here are $14,966,068. That corresponds to the, right back up to the top here. I'm off the screen, that's why. There it is. $14,966,066 right there in our total. That's our total expenditures. So the amended appropriations will bring our budget into alignment with our October forecast. That's where we stand right now. And that is all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any questions?
I would like to say one thing. We did just get our carryover for our grants deposited in our from the state. That was allocated. That was just reallocated today. I have to appropriate those additional funds. That didn't make it into this amended appropriation. So I will probably have another amended appropriation for our grant funds only in the December meeting. Our general fund amount shouldn't change. But in case you see that next month and wonder, well, didn't we just do that? That would be the reason. So just to give you a heads up on that.
Questions? Okay. Thank you. We'll move to F, financial action items.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Treasurer, the October 2017 financial statements be accepted as presented.
Second. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes. Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of Treasurer, the amended appropriations be accepted as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Great. Thank you very much. Todd, if I could have you put up the retention history file, like the first thing we review is our staff retention. It's always good to take a look and see where we're at historically and now. This is just for the teaching staff, does not include the support staff. This all teachers. So this represents the percentage of teachers we've retained each year. And this is going into the next year. So the 12-13 number is the 12-13, the end of that year going into the 13-14 year. Okay, then 13-14 is once the year started, then going into the 14-15 year. So you kind of have to look at it across the summer, because that's when you're going to have departures during that year.
So like August, starts.
Yeah, right? you're anywhere from May through August is what you're talking about there. So you can see we were pretty steady in 12-13, 13-14. 14-15, we dropped to 86% of our staff were retained. If you recall, those are the 2 years that we had a lot of turnover. A lot of things drove that. I always say insecurity drives people to look for other jobs. At that point in time, you had a change in your administration. So the other thing that came about is SDRS changed their rules. So people were looking, do I get out now or do I stay X number of years? So those two factors played into that. The good news is you can see 16 and 17 and coming into this school year where we're at for all teachers retained, we're at 91%. Our strategic planning goal that we agreed to is 95% by the end of next school year. So for all teachers, we're pretty close to that. Now if we go to the next chart, could Todd, and we take out our retirees and our non-renewals, or as I put on the actual other sheets, they agreed to resign. If you take those out, because retirees, I look at them as a whole different sector. They're making a decision on if they want to stay because they can go home and not just go to another job. And our non-renewals or our folks that choose to resign, that's a different category as well. Non-renewals typically are those folks that we would not qualify as our quality staff. So I've excluded those. You take those into consideration, your numbers get better. Coming into this school year, we're at 96%. This was our lowest turnover rate so far. So a lot of things played into that as well. One of our goals was to provide, you remember the 10-year financial plan was to provide security to our employees and to shift the focus to talking about academics. We did that very successfully, changing the culture to talking about our academics. That is changing now because we have insecurity because of our financial situation. So that's going to cause anxiety amongst the staff. We'll do everything we can to keep having that number rise. But again, folks, it's human nature. If they feel insecure, they want to go to where they do feel secure. We'll do everything we can to keep motivation high and morale high during these difficult times we face over the next year. But we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk to folks and see, you know, what can we do in lieu of additional salary, whatever we can to keep them here, especially our quality staff. Let's go to the last one there, Todd, the 5-year. Yeah, This is just a pie chart that shows the breakdown since 2012-13 moving forward. The question is why are people leaving? Retirements, we offer an early retirement incentive plan, and we also have STRS that changed the rules. So it kind of makes sense that people are looking at the retirement and taking advantage of that. The next two are tied better paying jobs and jobs closer to home. And when I say that, jobs closer to home is often a spouse is moving to another job and they follow them. That was very consistent. And then underneath this pie chart, there's detail even below that, in which it's down by the individual, in which we've kind of assigned which part of the pie chart they fall underneath. How did I get that information? We have an exit interview that they complete on paper. And some employees I'll sit down specifically with. They may have been here for 10 years or 15 years and have a lot of time in with us, and they've decided to go elsewhere. Those are the folks I really want to know what are the issues, so I can make sure that those numbers you see up there are correct. A piece of paper, somebody can write down anything, but I usually get better information. So somebody that's been here for one year and out, and they've taken a better job somewhere else, I usually don't sit down with them because it's pretty obvious why they're moving on. But that's where this information is coming from. Agreed to resign is about 13%, like I said. Those are folks that we were either going to non-renew or they decided that they would resign before that happened. So that number has gone up, I will tell you that. Over the first 2 years, the 12-13, 13-14 year, we didn't have any. Then moving forward, we started having a steady stream of folks that they decided to resign. So, personal reasons is a very vague description, but they write that. I get that a lot of the time. It can be anything from I have a personal illness to I don't want to teach anymore, I'm going into a new career. There's a lot of things that go into that. Or they just simply don't want to tell me what the reason is. The one I really watch for is they're just upset with Madison Plains, the red. It's a small number, but again, folks may be upset and they don't tell me because they're moving on. Most of the time, they don't have a problem with telling me, though, if they have an issue with Madison Plains. They do. So I feel this is a pretty good reflection of what our issues are. When you see better paying jobs and jobs closer to home, that better paying job, as Mark and I have talked, goes back to are we paying appropriately to keep our staff? When they decide to go closer to home and it's because the spouse is moving with a better paying job, they're thinking they'll get a better paying job too. So any questions about that? I can expand on that, provide more information.
I think it's great information.
You alluded to it a minute ago. The raw numbers, that's great, but the key is quality staff,
yeah.
Right? So I'm glad we, I guess, keep people, but really only want those good ones to stay. And in fairness to you, we put that standard out there, but we didn't necessarily give you a definition of what quality staff entails.
Right.
But I think we need to kind of flush that out, because that's what, 95% of quality staff is what matters, to me at least. Mm-hmm. 96% of all staff, if some of them aren't good, that
right.
could be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. We need to agree with how we define what quality means. There's a lot of factors that go into that. The personal relationships, their data, there's a lot of things that go into that. We can simply go by their evaluation, but there's more to it than just that, so I'd agree. Okay. Let's go to the MOU for supplemental payment. I've got it in there as well. You've been provided with the memo of understanding between the board and OPSI, our support staff. This is so our support staff can volunteer to take on coaching or advising roles and receive a stipend of 20% of the base supplemental pay. So if the supplemental base is $5,000, they get 20% of that. That is not a Madison Plains rule. That's Fair Labor Standards Act. That dictates to us is 20%. It's a stipend for their associated costs with coaching or advising. So OPSI is agreeing that that is the method we will use. We won't do a offset of their regular hours or any of that. They've agreed they want to do the 20% and we'll move forward. So I'll be asking you to approve that tonight. I don't know if you were able to read that. If you have any questions, you're happy to answer those.
So they will be voted on as a volunteer.
Correct. And we will only hire, if they're a volunteer and they're getting the 20%, they're taking a supplemental spot. So we have four assistants, and this person's a volunteer assistant, but they're getting the 20% supplemental or stipend, then they've taken one of those spots.
Okay. You said it's a step zero.
Correct.
Do we have a high percentage of volunteers that are interested at this point?
We've had a lot of classified employees who said in the past they want to coach, but they didn't want to lose any of their regular hours. So this gives them that opportunity. And I hope with this action tonight that, you know, not necessarily maybe for the winter season, but for the spring, we can start seeing those folks get involved. And there's other supplementals that are coming up that they can take on as well.
So. They don't, I didn't see it mentioned in there anywhere, they don't accrue years of service, though, with the coaching, or they do. So if they enter as a, if they volunteer and get a 20% as a step zero, then the next year. So if they've done this for 5 years, now they're.
When you say years of service as a coach,
as a
or
coach.
Within the retirement
as a
system?
Coach.
As a coach?
I'm sorry, they repay them through the accounts payable.
Right, and it's just like our current volunteers, you know, they'll be treated the same way as a pure
that's
volunteer.
We're just giving them reimbursement for their.
It's their nominal fee for their expenses.
Right.
Right. As I understand it right now, we would pay them through accounts payable and not through the payroll system. So retirement, Medicare, those type of deductions would not come into play. So that would offset some of the costs also that they would be losing on a regular contract that would go towards retirement, Medicare, things like that. There's also an additional savings to the board when we process it that way.
They get a 1099?
What they would receive is a 1099 if they receive over $600. Now, if we find out different from now until then, that we have to process it through payroll, right now I don't believe that's the case.
No other questions? Let's move on. You can tell we're kind of task-oriented tonight. We've got a running clock up there to try to keep us on target. Let's see where I was at. Replace of the aid for the ED classroom. I wanted to make sure that the board understood that later on you're accepting the resignation of one of our aides who took a teaching job actually in Southwestern City Schools. She has left. We need to replace that aide. And you say, well, we just didn't replace an aide in the clinic. Why are we replacing this one? We have to. It's in our ED classroom, and we have to have an aide in that classroom. That's not because we have to have so many bodies in with those students in the ED classroom.
Is the aide position the one that Mr. Stewart, is he getting the workload that he needs that we could move him to utilize some of that? Or?
Oh, he's at the high school?
Right.
Yeah, he's being utilized by Dr. Unger. And I mean, I can have him speak to what he's doing in his work day. But before we would do that, I would look at Mr. Miller and ask him if he has anybody else down here that has time in their workday. But at this point, we don't. We're actually getting pretty tight on our aides down here. If you don't know it, our teachers now are performing duties this year for the first time down here that they hadn't performed in the past. And again, we're whittling down on the aide support that we have. And this is one that I just can't do anymore. We've got to have an aide in that ED room. Share that. Administrative guidelines for bed bugs. First and foremost, got to say up front, bed bugs are not a health issue. They're not a health hazard. They are a nuisance. All the literature you read, in talking with our school nurse, you do not contract disease or any other issues from bed bugs. They are a pure nuisance. Biggest problem they cause panic in that if you get them in your home, it's thousands of dollars to get rid of them. So it's truly a nuisance issue. What we've tried to do in working with our attorney, the health department, some parents that were involved with a bed bug situation that didn't go well for them and their experience with us handling it for them. We've had lots of conversations, and from all those groups, this came out of that. You've had a chance to take a look at it, I hope. This is not what's in the handbook. The handbook is an abbreviated version of this. Because again, this is the administrative guideline that tells myself and the administrators how to handle a bed bug situation. So it's much more detailed. What's in the handbook is what relates to the parents and the students. So when you look at the two, they won't match identically because some things are taken out. But this is what we will be following now moving forward. I did not see any other school district that had administrative guidelines for bed bugs in their student handbook, their board policy, or anywhere else. Our attorney actually found guidelines from other schools that she'd worked with, gave them to me. We modified it in those groups, and I think we now have a pretty good plan moving forward.
What do you think those other schools do? I mean, to me, it seems reasonable to have a plan of attack. This seems periodic that this comes up, you know, in other health issues, yeah. Lice, and Dago, whatever. It seems easier for all of us to have a game plan anytime that any of those common things come up, we follow that. Just kind of like this, exactly. That,
right. You know. The challenge you run into is a lot of school districts are afraid to put anything specific in place because they didn't feel they could write a policy that covers everything. This one is very specific but general enough. If you notice, it still gives us the ability to inspect the student's belongings the next day they come in and then the following Monday. And the reason being is we're trying to give space between that initial inspection after they come back and the next time we check because they may have cleaned everything and they come back in 2 days from now and they've got them again. Again, we're trying to protect the fiscal welfare of other children because, again, it's not a health hazard. And that's the biggest challenge that I have as superintendent. They highly recommend you do not exclude students. Most of the literature says you can't exclude because it's not a health issue, it's a pest. Well, we could stretch that, as some school districts have, because they've had bigger issues than we've had. And they said, no, we're going to check for, you know, 10 days. Our attorney said, you can get away with one, maybe two, and then a week later, check again. But beyond that, parents have a right to look at you and say, you will not inspect my child again. And because we don't have reasonable suspicion that they are infested. So it's a fine dance you walk over something that is truly just a fiscal issue. It really is. But there's also the personal side that if you don't handle it correctly, you can embarrass a child, you can embarrass a parent, and this is to help the administration know what they should do to avoid that. So this will be available to all our administration in our Google file for them to access anytime they need it. And of course, the handbook will have the version of the parents' seat, and you'll approve that tonight. Questions on that? If we could go to the PI 11 results slide.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Did you want student handbook?
Yeah, do the student handbook. I'm sorry. Again, student handbook changes. Go ahead and pop it open there real quick, Todd. You can always go to, I believe it's the second or third page down. It has all the changes made to the handbook. Yeah, keep on going down. It'll refer you to those changes, so you can see the date there was. You made the changes. Tonight, we're just looking at approving the mission statement. Still had the old language. Now we have that. And if you didn't notice, we have our new banners all around the district with our new logo showing all the villages. The bed bug policy is in there as well. And then graduation requirements, very minor changes. That's the ODE. Abbreviations put in throughout our graduation requirements. That came from graduation requirements have been a board policy for a year and a half now, every meeting, because they're coming out with new changes all the time. At the next meeting, you'll see a lot more changes based off of graduation requirements, okay, to the handbook. So those are the changes in the handbook tonight. So nothing overwhelming. Now let's move on to PI 11 results. Yes, please. And then just go right down to the bottom. And this talks to what Mark was speaking about earlier. Just wanted to share publicly the results of the election. Obviously, we did win. That's great. I think it shows that our community, for the funds that we are being provided, are happy to provide it, especially the percentage that we won. It was our largest margin of victory since 1975 for any issue. It's the first time since 07 that all precincts supported a levy. As Mark pointed out, that's very important. Because our last time that we passed our PI renewal, we didn't pass in all precincts. So that's good news. It's the first time since 07, like I said, that Mount Sterling has supported a school levy. And that's critical. It's one of our largest voting bases. So I think those are all good indicators, especially after the drubbing that we took in August for new money. I was glad to see that we do have support. It's just a matter of education on why we need new funds. I did put up there in the red, talking about the August levy. So, and this is, we'll keep this as a running documentation of what has happened in the last 50 years. So any questions on that?
Good question.
All right. Let's move on. PI purchases. Let's talk about that real quick. I have a quick list on that item itself. We do need to purchase one more bus. We've already gotten one in this fiscal year. We have more than enough funds budgeted for a bus for this year, $95,000. In fact, we have 100 and, what are we down to now, 30?
It's over 100, yeah.
That we have budgeted just
it's
for
91 on the first bus.
Right.
So we had $200 originally budgeted. When we budgeted 184, I think is where we're at, and we were at 91. So we were over 91,000 for that second bus.
Too, so. Right. Yeah. So we're in pretty good shape there. We had already gone out and solicited at the EPC for buses. We have the bus list. We just need to pull the trigger on getting that. So we need to kind of have a conversation about that. That was in the plan for this year. Make sure that is still part of the plan and we want to move forward. Intermediate windows, we spend roughly around $25,000 a year. So that's budgeted to do that. And we do definitely have windows that are in need of replacement. Chromebooks. This was a request that was put in at the end of last year. We waited till now, but we need those books and a few iPads to complete our, as Joe would call it, our technology fleet to make sure we have enough tools for all of our testing. So we're not swapping items back and forth between buildings and having issues arise. That will, for the most part, complete our fleet other than turnover. Because again, the iPads we bought several years ago, they're at their end of their useful life. And so we'll always be buying technology, but that's the amount that we'll be looking for this year. Then the modular maintenance, if you notice I've got that up there. When I was up at Capitol Conference, we went to EMOD, their booth. If you remember EMOD Construction, or is the company that put in our modulars, the one that we're sitting in now. I spoke to them about the buildings and their settling. They're more than happy to come out and get underneath the modulars, jack them up, get them all leveled again, just like you would for any modular building. There's a cost associated with that. That's a placeholder amount. They did not quote me how much it would take for that. The other thing is just the wear and tear on the building. We're replacing things all the time now. If you come into this building on a Monday morning and you go down to the boys' restroom at the end of the hall, it smells like sewer. And the reason being is the trap underneath the building is not set correctly and the water drains out of it, so over the weekend the sewer gas can come back up into the building. That's just one item of things that we're dealing with the buildings. So again, we will have ongoing maintenance to keep these buildings operating. You know, question I get a lot of the time is, well, how long will these buildings last? And what was told to Boone and I was that these are just like a home. They're not like a commercial building. They're like a home. The difference is you have hundreds and hundreds of kids running through it every day for 184 days, whereas your home, you have your kids. So our useful life at 25 years is going to take a lot of maintenance to maintain that. So we will see our maintenance costs for these facilities rise as the buildings wear and tear. Things you don't notice, you don't know, the tile, we replace a lot of the tile already because it's settling and it cracks and tiles crack. It's not on a concrete floor like over an intermediate building. You don't have any settling there. Here you're always going to have that. So it's just like a modular home. So it'd be nice if we got 25 years. We're on 5 years now. I don't know that we're going to hit 25 years with the modular building. We will, if we have to, we'll do our best.
I did, at Capitol Conference, during our annual meeting, they did vote to shorten the life that you should use a bus. It was nine, is it 9 years? That's not.
It's not on me at this point.
Anyways, I think they reduced it, and I don't have any of that in front of me, but they reduced it a couple of years. So
recommended useful life?
Yeah, we changed the policy for the recommended useful life from whatever it was down a couple of years. So that'll come, I'm sure we'll see that, right? And then, but not for another quarter. Because those come out every quarter, but we did vote on that. And I was like, oh, I should probably remember that.
It's the recommended useful life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they shortened that.
Tim, let me clarify on the buses. Sure. I know we had talked about your initial recommendation was potentially two. Are you saying we got one and the recommendation is to get one more?
Correct. Okay. We got one, and it came in August. So it hit this fiscal year. So it used this budget for this fiscal year.
But it had been ordered
last
year.
Previously.
Okay.
So we would be ordering one for this year to get in this fiscal year.
What we voted on before was for the next year.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted, because you know, you said we had a final say as far as if we're going to get to one,
right.
None,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
That was the next year. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you're. Gotcha.
So that's, we also will have, continue to have a discussion of the PI plan moving forward into 18, 19, and beyond. But this is just for this year. I wanted you to see the larger purchases that we have in front of us. Obviously, some things that will always hit the PI for smaller in nature, anything from replacing hand dryers to those type of things. I will touch on the landscaping that was done by a private contractor that we didn't authorize this past weekend.
Independent
contractor, correct. That has been addressed today. Allscapes came out. They did a lot of work, and it's going to be a phased process. So if you went out and looked at it, you'd say, wow, they just threw some grass seed down. No, they did a lot more than that, but they're going to monitor it and make sure that it levels out correctly. If it doesn't, they'll do some more work. Mr. Penny did what'd you call it, Joe? I'm sorry. Your contract with them?
Yeah, the contract with them.
Statement of work?
Statement of work. All the expectations were for the person that actually did the damage, Allscapes. And then we were satisfied. That's when the work was stopped.
So how are we holding him accountable for what he did?
Basically, in working with the sheriff's office, if he fails to do what he agreed to do in regards to repairing and taking care of things, we can press forward with charges at any time. And they understand that. And I think that the punishment that he is getting at home is going to be much worse than anything we or the sheriff's office could do.
I think you should explain what you're talking about, too.
Okay, sure.
I know, but everybody knows.
I'm talking in code, I guess. We had over the weekend an adult that was in their pickup truck that we were fortunately able to see on our video cameras around campus. Not clear enough to get a license plate number, but clear enough to get a make and model of what it was. Through efforts of myself, Mr. Penny, Dr. Unger, and several other people, we were able to work with the sheriff's office and figure out who the individual was. The sheriff was in contact with them and their parents. The parents reached out to us and the sheriff's office and said, we're willing to do all restitution. They laid out a plan of punishment that they have in place. Basically, the student is going to be working for Allscapes for free to pay for the damages. And Allscapes is not going to take it easy on them and the work that they're doing. So we were able to get, without our insurance company being involved, without the having to go to court, we were able to get the person identified. They're paying restitution. We got our repairs taken care of for free. So I think that everybody involved learned a valuable lesson. So I feel pretty
good
about that.
Was it just horsing around or did it figure out a motive?
My understanding is it was just horsing around. And it
caused significant damage.
When you watch
damage.
The video, it looks like it.
Yeah.
We've got a very clear video from one of our cameras behind the high school that shows them backing up against the building and then just taking off and doing donuts.
Just one person involved?
One person has admitted to being involved. We're still working to see if anybody else was involved and if they're our students or not our students. And if we can verify that, then we'll take the appropriate steps there.
That driver was not our student.
Correct.
So I think we should
that
state
correct.
That too.
That is correct.
The other thing that Tim mentioned, it was important to him at the time, was that not just get paid for and restitution and things get put back the way that they were, but that that's person be seen doing the work.
Yeah, we did make sure, and actually the father of the person said that he'd be happy to make sure that people knew who he was by what he had to wear. I won't mention what school the person graduated from, but he wanted to make them wear one of their shirts, and I said, no, I don't think we should do that.
Let's not agree with that. Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's significant damage, and we could have been on the hook to repair all that, so good job. Thank you. Correct.
Absolutely. So those are the items as of right now, major items that we'll be looking at moving ahead and purchasing. Again, we need the bus. We need the Chromebooks. The Chromebooks are critical.
Yeah.
Just, we can't avoid that. And that still leaves us healthy in the PI fund for the end of the school year.
Did you, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Maybe somebody asked this question earlier and I missed it. You had said something about band uniforms in there too. Is that not going to be put in that?
No, you are correct. I put that in our notes. I just didn't put it on this list.
Okay.
You're correct. That was the notes I sent
to
you.
I read it somewhere.
Right. No, I'm glad you caught that. If you recall, there is a request for us to share in the cost for new band uniforms. The commitment was for up to $18,000 from the Board of Education, regardless of what the cost of the uniforms are. That's what we said that we would do. I don't have it listed there, but it is something I believe that we should move ahead with. Our band, they are a very successful program, and even if they weren't, it's our kids that work very hard. Their uniforms, they look great up there at the from the stands at the state meet, but I fully understand that they're hoping, you know, a sleeve doesn't fall off while they're out there. We can't have that.
And this is a shared portion? They're still raising a certain amount of money in order
right.
for us to
we're contributing $18,000, they're contributing the rest. So if they get $50,000 for the uniforms, we're on the hook for $18,000. So it's a matter of what level of quality they want. That's what my recommendation is. Question is, do you want to see a recommendation coming to you?
Or I wasn't aware that we had set $18,000. I thought we were on a 60-40 split on that.
We are up to $18,000.
Up to $18,000. No,
correct.
So it
correct.
Could be less.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask.
Right. It's up to $18,000. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I would like to see that on the agenda.
Okay.
For the next meeting, I think we need to move ahead with that. We put the band off on that purchase. And I think it's time for us to move forward.
Well, and I'll just pose the question. We have enough funds in the PI fund that with miscellaneous and things like that, we could go ahead and do it. The question is, do we want to? And what I'm saying is we have funds already appropriated under miscellaneous that we can move to do this. I'm ready to tell them to go ahead and do it because I know it takes a year for them to get to uniforms.
Well, could we just add that to new business? Could you add that on the
same? Do that.
Under new business? Make a motion. Or not? Is that appropriate?
I think we need to commit to it.
I can put it on tonight and we can take a vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I get to my section on that.
40-60 split. Thanks.
Up to
18.
So put it on as a new item.
Right.
Your section.
My section.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then operational needs. Good operational needs. We can, Todd, the important dates. Now, again, we already set our meeting, which is great. Backing into the dates, I wanted to make sure we understood where we're at. Todd's about to lose power.
Yeah, he's
plugging in. Our next board meeting, we got December the 19th. Now we have a special meeting as well. Our organizational meeting is the 9th, the 29th. That's the last day to submit certification for income tax to the High Department of Taxation. So if we're going to go down that path, you can see the 29th is the deadline for us. The performance audit report, February 1st, as you recall, they talked about bringing that to us. So if we're looking at something on in May, February 1st, we should have information from them that help us guide what kind of budget reduction plan we put in place. And then February the 2nd, that's your last day to submit the following, the levies to the county auditor, emergency, current, or conversion. And the 7th, the last day to file with the Board of Election, all levies. So really, February 7th is coming at us pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You got 2 months, basically, to do a lot of discussion. That's why I said we have to have those special meetings. And then, of course, I would advocate that Mr. Coburn be at our special meeting. I'll be making a lot of debate and discussion of what we should do, and certainly want his input. And hopefully that special meeting date works with your schedule.
We didn't ask. I apologize.
I will make it work.
We will be sending that to you, though.
There you go. And then the normal board meeting date, February 20, that we normally meet. And then the last day for voter registration is April 9, and election day. So we have a lot to do in a very short period of time. So
at the end of the school year.
Right. You already set up a special meeting, so we're well on our way. The only thing I would want, Todd and I kind of know what we want to present information-wise. And anything you can think of for that special meeting that you want in advance. I think it was Mark at one point said something about the School Facilities Commission, what it would take to get questions from them answered, things like that. Anything you have like that, let us know, and we'll start gathering that information so we can get it all at one meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Or two. Okay. And then last but not least, I didn't put it on here, but the good news is we had our second student that was recognized by the Rotary, the London Rotary. It was Griffin Jones. And the good news is that was great. Commissioner Hunter is the one that invites us to that, myself and Dr. Unger and the student of the month. He did a great job of recognizing us. He and I were able to have a good conversation there as well about the development group. If you recall, we've been hoping to get that rolling. He's had 3 meetings and set up 3 committees within the 3 villages. He now wants to have the school's input, as he sees that all these folks are saying, well, what about the school, what about the school, what about the school? And he feels the timing is right for us to be involved. So I told him, I said, let me know when the meetings are, and myself, board president, board members, whoever you want to be there, will be there. So starting in January, we'll be actively working with him on that pursuit. And I think that's it.
Any questions? We will move on to unfinished business. We'll move on to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Nikki Rice, aide, effective November 15, 2017. Mrs. Rice has served the Madison Plains School District for 2 years.
Discussion.
I'll speak for Brad and say Nikki did a great job for us. And we wish her well, Southwest City School.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Haley Elkins, that's Outdoor Education and Trip Advisor for the 2017-2018 school year, due to medical reasons.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Tara Carroll as a 7th and 8th grade basketball cheerleading. As 7th and 8th grade basketball cheerleading advisor for the 2017-2018 school year due to personal reasons.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Matt Slamers as 8th grade boys basketball coach, effective November 17, 2017, due to personal reasons.
Second.
Discussion.
I believe we have Parker Sullivan is stepping in to help out with that program right now.
He's filled in with a void of finding a new coach.
Okay.
Great. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year as listed.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ, is it Ariel Longcoy, as a substitute bus driver, effective November 13th, 2017.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Elizabeth Robinson as a bus driver, step 0. The length of contract and effective date is yet to be determined based with when her 2-week notice is submitted to her current employer.
Second. Discussion?
Again, reminding the board, this is a new route. This is an additional cost to us. However, it's required as we have a student whose IEP is not being met, as well as the side benefit beyond that is that we'll reduce our overcrowding on our buses that go to Mount Sterling, because right now they're at capacity. So this will help with that.
Thank you. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the appointment of Megan Stewart to the Mount Sterling Library Board for a term of January 1st, 2018. Through December 31st of 2024.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the parent student handbook changes as presented.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve an MOU between the Madison Plains Board of Education and the Ohio Association of Public School Employees, Local 537. This MOU will allow OPSI employee to volunteer to take supplemental contracts offered by the Board of Education and to receive a nominal stipend of 20% of the supplemental contract base amount.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the following board policies as presented.
Second. Any discussion?
There was a question about anything significant in any of those. I think one of the
interest.
Interest. Yeah. Here you go. Under the bidding requirements, Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't that double?
Yeah, it went from $25,000 as the minimum required to be bid to $50,000.
That was a change in law, I think, basically due to inflation.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the service agreement between Madison County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Madison Plains Board of Education for the 2016-2017 school year as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
I believe that's a typo, 16-17 school year.
No,
17-18 school year.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I need to reread that.
Okay. Any discussion about that? No? Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. I'm
so confused.
And the band, of course.
You want me to make a motion on that?
Yeah.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve PI funds to purchase band uniforms on a 40-60 split, the board being responsible for the 40% share with a maximum of $18,000.
Second.
Discussion?
Cover everything.
Call roll, please.
Obviously, last time when I brought this up, I felt like it was perceived as me having an issue with the band. I have no issue with the band. Very proud of them. Glad to see it here. Makes Madison Plains look great. We're deficit spending. That's a lot of money. That pool of funds, if we have to get a new sewer plant or any kind of catastrophic thing, it'll come from there. So the decision is not, I'm going to vote against it, is not because I have any particular issue with the band. If any extracurricular or co-curricular came and made the same request, I would do the exact same thing. So it's absolutely no issue with the band.
Okay, so.
Up to $18,000.
Call roll, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
No.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Okay, we'll move on to donations.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following donations: $985 from the Scholastic Boosters to the math department. To purchase, looks like 10 T-184 calculators.
Second.
Discussion?
I could be wrong, but I believe they purchased the TI-84 calculators and donated the calculators to the district with a value of $985.
Okay. Thank you.
Scholastic Boosters are looking for ways to help besides just the scholarships. As you know, they give a lot of money out, but they're looking through the course of the year how they can help as well.
Great.
This is just one way, so.
Very awesome. Call roll, please.
I'm sorry, who was the second? Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Business done. I make a motion that we enter into executive session at 8 p.m. for the purpose of one or more, purpose of completing the 2016-2017 evaluations of the superintendent, treasurer, CFO. We will also discuss a dispute over a contract that's being managed by our attorney. Both items are allowed under following Ohio Revised Code 121.22G under Section 1 to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Section 3, conferences with an attorney. And Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Madam President, I would also add that we also have one other employment issue to discuss.
Okay.
For a recommendation for a coaching position.
Add recommendation for coaching position we will be discussing also. Thank you. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0 in the executive session.
Our next meeting will be held on December 13th. 14th, oh, sorry. I had that right. 14th at 6 p.m. It'll be a special meeting, followed up by on the 19th, a regularly scheduled board meeting. We'll be taking no further action. Thank you for coming.